The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on Tuesday, August the 21st. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my gorgeous co-presenter, the lovely Jill Serkin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bunker.
Hello, Jules, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Hot. I've perked up since coming in the studio, though.
You have, haven't you?
Look what we've got. Listener,
you want to see what's in here. There's plates of cake, there's freshly baked bread, there's all kinds. It's a Jules heaven in here.
Yes, it is. We've got from the terrazzo at Lenley's, we've got Nicola Black's fabulous homemade cake.
I know, and they're right under my nose.
Yes.
And all I can smell is delicious cakes. And every time I look up, there's a whole pile of cakes and
huge slices.
And huge, humongous slices with all kinds of drippy things on them.
There's a lemon one, and there's a coffee and walnut, and there's a chocolate one, and there's a fruit one, and that's just for me.
I know. You're a torturer, Jules. Yeah. That's what you are.
And then there's our other guest, Stephen.
Stephen Harrington from Harrington's Kitchen.
Yes, who's brought in. I'm just pausing because I can't say it. It's focaccia, I think. It's something Italian, you know.
Focaccia.
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 There you go.
See?
It's bread.
It's bread, but not.
And it's gorgeous,
home.
And I've been eating it.
It's got a little bit of polenta in it, I think. Some of them. Grissini with polenta.
Ah, cool. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that later on, which is good stuff.
But I've got a little something for you.
Yeah.
Because I know that you are a Leo.
Yeah.
On the cusp.
Oh, yeah. Ah, licorice. Thank you, sweetheart.
Oh, you are. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's tomorrow, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Oh, but we're not talking about it. Thank you. I've got it.
You can have one a day on your diet.
Oh, thank you. If you want to know what she bought me, listener, it was licorice, which is one of my favourite things. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I know you're on the cusp.
Yeah.
You're not on the cusp of... What are you on the cusp? I can't say what I thought you might
I'm
be.
I'm Pyrex.
Yeah.
I'm a test tube baby.
You're Tupperware, aren't you?
Yeah.
Paul Andrews is on the cusp.
Yeah, I'm a Leo, for what it's worth.
Yeah, you've got the mane, haven't you?
I used to have, once upon a time, before it disappeared.
Put a picture on Twitter, I'd like to see it.
Of what?
Of your mane.
Of me with hair? No, you'd never recognise it. Anyway, not to worry about that. Do you know what?
What do you think?
I've got an email here following your little escapade last week.
What little escapade?
Well, when we started talking about donkeys and sombreros.
Yeah.
And then you went off on one about 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Well, I'm only on chapter one, Paul.
But it was enough to elicit a response, Jules.
Okay.
So here we got local retailer, Vibes, that's V-E-B-E-Z, adult boutique.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, reports 100% increase on sales compared to last year. Purely accountable to the recent global success of London author E.L. James' 50 Shades of Grey, as mentioned by Jules Serkin on The Business Bunker last week. Following much media coverage across the UK and America, many adult businesses are reporting similar successes, and in this economic climate, it is promising to report such encouraging news and has reached the smaller outlets too. So Tracy Whitmore, who's the owner of Vibes Adult Boutique, commented, "To be recognised in the business community as a growing concern makes me very proud. The novel has achieved what I've been striving to achieve for the last 7 years, taking the erotic relationship to the masses and making it accessible and available and acceptable to all." So that's Vibes, V-I-B-E-Z, Adult Boutique, and they are in Aylesford, just outside Maidstone.
Hello, Tracy.
So there you go. Thank you for that, Tracy.
Yeah, sales of nipple tassels, apparently.
Now, don't start. Now, just don't start on that, okay?
I'm just saying what the Daily Mirror said.
Yeah. No, just don't start on that. We went all through that last week, Jules.
I'm just repeating it.
And we never got away with it then, so let's not do it this week. So I think...
You can say nipple tassel on air.
Can you?
Yeah, you just can't say moist.
Right, okay.
Moving
very swiftly on. We'd like to hear from you, the listeners, as normal. We have a live Twitter feed running, and we're already running up some tweets right now. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb for a shout-out for your organisation, or to tell us if you've got an event coming up, or if you're doing something for charity, or if indeed you're a charitable organisation. We'd love to hear from you. So tweet me at VanillaWeb. We'd also like to hear from you on the phone, so do give us a call on 01-303-874-998. That's 01-303-874-998. We'd love to hear from you. But let's have some news for the moment, Angels.
Well, the actual place that we're in, broadcasting from, is Hagelands, as some Bunker listeners know. The Look of Family Fun Weekend is coming up this weekend. And sorry, I'm just being adjusted as I speak. Oh, that's better. Thank you. Now, if you come in and pay on for this Saturday weekend, it's £6, or for a family of four, it's £15, and you'll then get half price on Sunday, which means you get a whole weekend. You can get together and it's a knockout team, so this is great for a business if you want to get a bit of publicity. You need to register, which is £50, and then you need to raise a sponsor amount of £500, but Haglands will help you with that, and they will sponsor £100 towards your £500. Teams of 7 to 10, which works out, if your maths is okay, about £40 a person sponsorship. You need to ring Ruth Denzi or pop in and see her at the restaurant in the Haglands village. Will be village here? I never know.
It's a village.
Okay, Haglands.
It's a farm village.
Off Burmarsh Road, anyway, if you know that. And there is a number which is 07723 038 566, and that's Ruth at Haglands. No brainer. You need to get in there as soon as possible because it's this weekend. It's the 25th, 26th of August.
Cool.
Thank you for cranking this up. I'm now going to have to sit really tall for the whole show.
Yeah. Well, it's.
What do you think I am? Some sort of ostrich?
No, it's the angle of your dangle, isn't it? Obviously.
Yeah, but you've cranked me up so high.
Yeah, I know. But
probably good
got,
for me.
We got one or two options. I could either lift the microphone or push your head down. Which would you prefer?
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on swiftly.
Historic
exactly.
Dockyard, Chatham. We've got something here. This is October, but put it in your diary. Thursday the 11th of October. Over the next 5 years, the Medway area will be the site for a number of major developments, which means significant business for the whole of the construction sector and associated businesses. It's held at the historic Dockyard, Chatham, on the 11th. The expo is free. It's there's a conference and an exhibition, and it's sponsored by Medway Council. This will be a showcase for companies in construction and related areas that would like to be involved in these projects. It brings you back again to 50 Shades of Grey, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Construction.
Yeah, move on.
Bras.
Move on.
Two great keynote speakers, 12 valuable workshops and lots of exciting demonstrations to see and exhibitors to meet. There's a website here which is www.bestbusinessevents.co.uk. Well, give us a ring, says Carol, and that's 01622 232 707. Details will be on the Business Bunker website after the show.
Cool. I got this and I thought I'd do a bit of trumpet blowing just
yeah,
for a change, because I
change.
Just thought it was nice. I had an email and it said, I've been on the Business Bunker website, which is excellent. I'm a great admirer of your show.
Is that your web designer?
No. Don't be so cynical.
I just thought.
You're so cynical, Jules. No.
Go on.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a great admirer of the show, and I always have it playing while I'm dashing about ready to get ready. Business Bunker is a terrific resource for the community and very professionally done. I'm also a radio presenter, and I have a show later on in the day, and I just wanted to let you know that I think Business Bunker is one of the great things that I listen to. So it's very nice. It's Kevin Tan.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah, so thank you for that, Kevin.
Now, Kevin is a very interesting person.
He is a very interesting person, and I've got some information on the show that he does later on, which we'll cover later on.
I thought that was going to be maybe, if not your web designer, maybe from your mum, Mrs. Andrews.
My mum?
Yeah.
My mum has never listened to me on the radio. It's on a computer, isn't it?
Oh, of course. Well, you could switch it on for her.
Could I?
Tell me Kevin's surname.
Can.
C-A-N-N?
Yep.
Okay. So you're going to tell us more about his
show. I'm going to tell you more about Kevin's show, because he's got he has tremendous shows every week, but the one he's got later on today is a real Lulu.
Okay.
So I'll tell you about that later. So that's that. I think I better read some of these tweets, because we've got loads and loads of tweets coming in, and I'm going to run out of space on my Twitter feed soon. So first up, we've got loads of people just telling us they're listening to the show, but well, that's cool. So Rebecca Partridge, who's new to Twitter and new to the show, has joined us. So thank you, Rebecca. And her handle on Twitter is BeckAttitudeBP. Beck Attitude PP.
Is that a double C with the Beck?
No, BEC.
And then Attitude.
No, it's Altitude. I haven't got my glasses on. I can't read. It's too little. Altitude.
Well, you're
Altitude
that age
BP.
Now, aren't you?
Don't start. I need start.
Yeah, well, you have to hold things.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to mention my birthday.
Oh, and I've done it on the.
And you have,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. People be sending me bus passes and stuff now.
Anyway, it's Beck Altitude.
Yeah, BP. All one word.
Got it.
But if you follow me, you'll find us straight away. Also, Sally for Laker. Sally Laker. I always do that. I always do that. It's not Sally for Laker.
Sally for Cakes.
It's Sally Laker, which is Sally for Cakes. Sally for Cakes. Looking forward to listening to the Business Bunker today with Vanilla Webb and, that's me, and Jules Serkin on Kent Business Radio. Thank you for that, Sally. Lovely to have you with us. We've also had some tweets from the Whitstable Rotary Club.
Ah.
And HMS Abbey. Blimey, there's a call. I wonder if that's for us. We'll see in a minute.
That's Mark Smith, isn't it, with the Rotary? He's very involved in the
Rotary. Yeah, and Andy Page.
Lovely Andy Page.
PH Accountants in Canterbury.
He came to the Whitstable tweet up.
I think we've got a phone call. Let's see. Hello.
We know you're there.
Hello, Louise. How are you?
Am I on air?
You are, but you're quite low. Can you shout
that's
a bit?
Louise Cox Chester.
Hello, Louise.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can, very much I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Only just, you're quite low.
Oh.
I can hear her.
Can you?
For me.
Yeah. Okay, if you speak in a loud voice, Louise, how are you anyway?
I'm very well.
Cool. And what are you up to?
I'm on my way into Canterbury. I'm making some adjustments to my website.
Oh, right, okay.
So I'm just off to work with the web designers on that.
Cool.
So, I'm not very happy about having to go with this gorgeous weather.
Not good.
But anyway, we mustn't complain, mustn't we?
Cool.
Are you, who's doing your website, Louise?
Fruit Bowl Media.
All right, okay. Yeah. Great little setup there in Canterbury.
Yes. The whole place is lovely, and I really like the vibe, actually.
Yeah. So
it is cool, isn't it? Fruitworks, the whole thing there behind the Abode Hotel.
And actually, I'm taking my 9-year-old daughter in with me.
Really?
Yes, and she's going to, because they've got sofas there, and they've got like a chill-out area, and a little mini football thing, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
She's going to chill out while I get some adjustments made to my website. So.
That'll be cool.
So, yeah, it will be.
Hey, Louise.
Yes?
I'm very impressed with what you've done with Paul Andrews and the mindfulness at work.
I'm so chilled out.
Yes, Jules... I did it just for you.
Every now and then I see him take a breath and I think, yeah, he's doing his mindfulness. It's working.
I really want you, we've got a course running on we're doing an open course mainly with mindfulness at work. Obviously, as the name suggests, we train mindfulness in people's workplace.
Yeah.
And that's normally, I mean, we do everything from sort of big, you know, one of the big mobile phone operators.
You can say who?
No. I can't.
Is it BT?
I can't say anything.
Okay. Whisper later.
To banks, and because they've got lots and lots of employees. But a lot of friends and people we know and friends of friends wanted to try our 4-week course anyway. So we ran an open course in Canterbury, and we've got a sort of from that, a lot of people who did it, then their family and friends and colleagues have said, so what have you done? I want to do it too. You're really changed and much happier and, you know, more effective at work and everything. So we're running another one, which starts on the 18th of September.
Cool.
At Witherden's Hall. So it's in the evening, so straight after work, 6:30, here at Witherden's Hall.
Cool. Witherden's Hall, just for the listeners, Louise, is just outside Canterbury. Yeah?
It's between Canterbury and Sandwich in a village called Wingham.
Cool.
And I would say it's one of the best venues
gorgeous.
I've ever seen.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
Eco-wise and space-wise, fantastic venue.
Thank you.
I really mean that.
I know you really mean it, and I really appreciate it, because we work so hard, and we run as a social enterprise, and I love the fact that people really enjoy the courses they do here, or whether they come and stay for a retreat. It really makes all the hard work worth it.
Absolutely.
And Jules, maybe if you could look at your diary, we'd love you to do the course.
Yeah, so would I.
And interestingly enough...
It's in my diary, Louise.
A certain Gavin works for a certain company...
Bloomberg.
That I've been in and had several meetings with.
Really?
Yeah, about doing mindfulness training there.
Oh.
You need to get in quick, Jules, is what she's telling you, before he gets a jump on you, if you see what I mean.
I cannot say anything about Bloomberg. But
it's a wonderful company.
Fabulous company.
Inspirational.
Yes.
In so many ways. And the offices are really high tech. And, they want to, we're in sort of detailed negotiations.
Right, well, cool. Let me know on that.
Louise,
18th of September is in my diary.
I was going to say, let's give the date out again. 18th of September.
Yeah.
I thoroughly recommend Mindfulness at Work. I did the programme, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was very useful. And
I promise I'm not paying Paul to say this.
No, I did see a difference, definitely, Louise.
No, so, honestly,
you
I mean,
are a
it's one of the things. It's one of the stories that I told during the programme as well about how I prevented myself from throttling a certain person by using mindfulness techniques when normally I would have let go on one. So
what happens is people come. It's 45 minutes, and you come and learn these very, very simple. They're sort of exercises for the brain, really.
Mm.
And then you have a CD and you practice them for 10 minutes every day. As long as you're not driving to work and you're using another method of transport, like...
Donkey.
Bus or train. You can even do it on your way to work. They're very, very easy to do, but after 4 weeks, science shows that you can actually change your neural pathways change, so you use the more advanced areas of the brain. So instead of, you know, reacting, you know, when people press your buttons, you actually, it's extraordinary, actually, and Paul is living proof of this.
Absolutely.
So you actually change the way you respond to life, and you become much more chilled out.
I have been so chilled, I'm Eskimo-like.
And also what is extraordinary, and I still can't quite believe that these very simple exercises can do this, but after 4 weeks, actually it can have thickened the grey matter in areas of your brain, like the left prefrontal cortex, which is kind of the area you want to be using.
I can believe that because, you know, I used to be a yoga teacher in my former life, and meditation, has huge, huge benefits.
Well, the great thing is, I mean, I've been doing mindfulness for 17 years now, and when I worked in the city, it really is what gave me my edge. And I didn't realize I could do it for just 10 minutes a day, so I used to do it for 45 minutes because that's what my teacher had told me.
Mm.
And I used to get up at 5:15 and do it before going to work. And it's great that the science has kind of caught up with my experience, and I can actually now, point to the science of how it works, and people don't anymore think I'm a fruitcake.
Well, it's also great that companies like Bloomberg, you know, huge American corporations, are thinking about their employees and how, you know, very, very fast pace of work, you know, real-time news, 24-hour news just coming at you all the time.
Yeah.
And this is perfect for them, I would say.
And in fact, I think everybody now feels under so much pressure at work. I mean, if you don't, if there's somebody out there who doesn't, I haven't met them recently, and this really helps you cope with stress.
Mm.
And what's also great, I find it really helpful, is it helps you sleep better. So if you get up, if you wake in the night with your mind racing, or you know, repetitive thoughts going through your head.
Yeah, 3:20 in the morning.
You
always
learn to mindfulness just helps you to observe the working of your mind. You observe when your mind is going off on one, and you train yourself to have the ability to bring your mind back and tell it very nicely to concentrate on something different. And the next thing you know, it's the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I find it really helpful for that, actually.
Absolutely. If people want to find out more about the course, can you give us a shout for the website, Louise?
Yes, the website is mindfulnessatwork.com.
Right.
And there's a courses page there.
Cool.
And if they scroll down and down and down, this is before I get the website changed, hopefully this afternoon, there will be a bit about open courses and they can...
Brilliant.
And then we've got, it's actually quite booked up already, which I'm quite surprised at because I thought most people would be away on holiday. But people need to click through to Eventbrite and actually book.
Cool.
Make sure they get a place.
As always, we will put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website.
Thank you.
So that people can follow up with it.
Yeah.
It's going to be hugely successful, I know it is, but I'll wish you luck anyway, although you don't need it, because it's a fantastic program.
Thank you, and I think if there are any businesses out there the course runs for up to 25 people, and the trainer goes in and trains them, and it costs from as little as a couple of pounds a day if it's done in a corporate. For the 28 days of the course, a couple of pounds a day per employee.
Right.
And if there are corporates out there or businesses who wanted to kind of share a trainer, because they don't have 25 people, we'd love to be able to.
Yeah, that's
to
a good idea.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. So, just if anybody's interested in that, I'm happy to facilitate that as well. So if anybody's out there thinking, well, I've only got 10 employees, but I'd like them to do it, contact me and I'll put together with somebody else that's in a similar situation and put you in touch with Louise.
That would be great. I mean, I think Canterbury would be Canterbury and Tunbridge Wells and Maidstone could be some really good areas.
Cool, yep.
To do that. So, thank Brilliant. You very much.
No, pleasure, Louise. Lovely to talk to you, as
yes.
always. Good luck this afternoon in Fruit Bowl.
I know it'll be great. They're a great bunch in there. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for calling the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Louise Cox-Chester there from Witherden's Hall.
Yeah, absolutely, and mindfulness at work and various other things. Cool. Good stuff. Well, Tempest is fugitive and all that, and I've got a gazillion tweets, at least, because I counted them.
Go on then, read
but,
them.
Well, I'm going to read a couple, and then it's really time to move on with that, because Angela was reminding us all as well that there's actually a business tweet up at Langley's in Roper Road on the 30th of August, so that was quite nice. Thank you for that, Angela. That's the Kent business tweet up at Langley's in Roper Road, Canterbury.
Thank you, Angela.
10 a.m. to 12 on the 30th of August, so thank you for that, Angela.
Need to mention that there's free parking and it's Roper Road, Canterbury.
Did I not say it was Roper Road?
You may have done.
I wasn't.
I was sipping my tea.
Did I mention the free parking?
I'm not sure.
In Roper Road.
Did you mention frangipan and plum cheesecake?
No, nor the duck confit.
Yeah.
I'm slipping, aren't I?
Did you mention the chocolate ganache?
No.
Well.
I didn't do any of those things, Jules. You're quite right. Take me to task.
Yes, I will. Where is task?
Roper Road, Canterbury.
Okay.
30th of August.
Let's go.
Yeah, cool. I've also got a tweet from Aylesford Priory. Please can you give Aylesford Priory a shout out? Conference facilities, guest rooms, Pilgrims Hall, fine dining. Thank you very much. That's from Lee. So have a look for that. That's Aylesford Priory, just outside Maidstone. They've got conference facilities, guest rooms, and a fine dining restaurant. Have a look at that. And then Made in Kent, Mark Smith. Listen to Kent Business Radio with Vanilla Webb and Jewel Sirkin. Looking forward to hearing all about what's happening in Kent. So cool. And
I've still got your Bar Humbug hat, by the way, Mark. Thank you for lending that for a Lenny's shoot that I did.
Was that a wee willy winky one?
Yeah.
Mark had one, did he?
Yeah, he had one.
Did he?
Yeah, he wears it all the time.
Yeah, well, he's got a dressing up box, isn't he? Because he's in amateur dramatics.
Yeah, and
I never thought about that. He's got a whole big dressing up box.
He's a thespian.
No, don't stop. Oh, I see. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Do you know what we're doing now?
Tunage?
I think we'll do some tunage. What do you reckon?
What are you playing? Something summery?
No, well, kind of.
Can you not say A on radio?
Why?
Pardon.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't say A.
Sorry. Sorry. What do you reckon on this?
Come on, give us a clue.
Bit of Fonsella Bass?
Never heard of him.
Yeah, you have.
No, I haven't.
the Business Bunker.
Well, welcome back. Well, blimey, it's all happening here. Welcome back. You're listening to KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on Tuesday, August the 21st, the Business Bunker Show, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-presenter, Jules Serkin. And we've got another phone call. Hold on a second. Let's see who we got here. Hello, you're on the Business Bunker.
Hi, Paul. It's Will Tippett here.
Sorry, who?
Will Tippett.
Hello.
Hi, Will. Hi, Will. How are you?
How are you doing?
Yeah, cool, thank you.
Yeah, good. So, I want to chat about UCA Bath.
Yeah.
You obviously know about that from various Twitter, various tweets.
Yes, I've seen some things on Twitter, but for the other listener that we've got that hasn't got a Twitter account, just give us a bit of background to it.
Basically, I'm at the University of Creative Arts, and we've got campuses in Kent and Surrey.
Yep.
The ones in Kent are in Maidstone, Rochester and Canterbury.
Yep.
And a friend of mine from UCA Epsom have started, basically, a business and talent hub, and we've called it UCA Bath.
Right.
And we're basically practicing, you know, the bridging art and business.
You're working with Dodie, aren't you, Will?
Sorry?
You're working with Dodie?
Dodie, yep, Dodie Kasma, and she's a fashion student at Epsom, and and we're basically going to be starting this up to sort of, you know, share talent and obviously teach business to creative students.
Cool. And where's it based?
We're basing it across all five campuses.
So it's going to be in all the UCA campuses?
Yeah. Well, we're basically going to be starting up at the Freshers Fair, which is, across Kent, there's the one in Maidstone is the 1st of October, Canterbury's 21st of September.
Right.
And then Rochester's the 25th of September.
Okay.
So we want to set up there and spread the word, basically.
Cool.
Will, we were saying, I was just chatting to Will yesterday, and we were saying that it's a really good idea because often creative people don't have the business brain, you know, isn't
absolutely
creative. So it seems like a really good idea.
No, it's a brilliant idea, yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, UCA obviously offers, you know, diverse learning and all that sort of thing and opportunities. But this is basically opening opportunities to extend that professional practice that's already in place at UCA. And it's kind of just a way to sort of, we're also going to be networking opportunities and basically a place to meet people who are like-minded and who are enterprising students as well, which is basically what we want to do.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really important, you know, the state that the economy's in. We really, really, really do need to generate more businesses and to get more people into the business environment and to create wealth and jobs in the country. So what you're doing is absolutely brilliant. It has my full support and it has the support of lots of people that I work with in that field in terms of business startup investment and so on. And I think what you're doing is terrific.
Yeah.
Interestingly, you're going to be at the Freshers Fair.
Yeah.
At UCA and Maidstone.
Yeah.
And of course, the UCA campus is on the same campus as Mid Kent College.
That's right, yeah.
Of which I'm a governor.
Oh, I see.
So I might well pop along to that.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, myself and Dodie should be there.
Cool.
And we should have a few other people just sort of basically, spreading the word of UCA Bath.
Will, are you, I can't remember where we got on our phone call. Are you able to come to Lenny's on the 30th?
I will have a look.
Or Dodie.
But, I'm sure Joe. We're working with Surrey Uni, and he's very keen to come along, I'm sure.
Yeah, because then we could introduce you to the Canterbury bunch down here and get you going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, it just sort of sums up what we want to do. We want to meet people all the time and...
Did you come along to the 10x10 event? I thought you had, yeah.
That's myself and Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because we...
Yes, because I definitely met Joe, and I had a feeling that I met you.
I was there. I was front row, but I had to dash off.
It was you pulling faces at me.
Yeah.
Ah, right, okay. Cool. Good. Well, look, Will, we wish you absolute best of luck with that.
Thank you.
Do keep in touch with us. We will do all we can to help promote you and to, you know, tell people how it's going.
Great.
And if anything you need, just give us a shout, because what you're doing is fantastic, and you have our full support.
All right.
Give us a shout for your Twitter handle, Will.
Mine?
Yeah.
Well, mine's at Whippet. That's WIPPET.
Cool. Have you got a website or anything like that for the hub that people can look at it?
Not at the moment, but we've got till about mid-September to get everything going.
Okay.
But it's more to get people along to Freshers Week, really, if anyone's listening or knows
Okay, so get along to
on Freshers Week at any of the UCA campuses in Guildford, Maidstone, Rochester or Canterbury. Once your website's up and running, give us a shout about that, Will, and we'll put out some links to it as well.
Great.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for calling the Business Bunker, and we wish you much luck and success with that.
Great.
Thanks. Say hi to
Cheers.
Joe and Dodie.
Yeah. Bye. Bye now.
Bye. Bye. That's like, Will Tippett there.
Cool. Right, do you know what I think we'll do now? I think we'll speak to our first studio guest,
Let's
don't you? Because
do
we're kind of running a bit out of time now. So it's an absolute pleasure.
Bread.
Yeah, I can't see him because there's a big screen in the way between me and him, so I'm going to have to kind of look round it. It's my absolute pleasure to welcome Stephen Harrington of Harrington's Kitchen to the show, along with Roberta and their bread.
Oh, there are a lot of it.
Yeah, Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you for having me.
Cool. First of all, I can't see it now because Jules has got it all hidden behind all these things. So if you want to talk through, first of all, what we've got here,
yeah,
you don't wave things like that at me. Just pass it over. I'm going to eat that while you're talking about it. If you explain to Jules what we've got there.
Okay, so let's start off with the first one, Stephen.
That's I've made two focaccia. The first one's a focaccia. Onion topping. The second one is a more traditional focaccia with a rosemary and rock salt topping. And in the middle there, I've made some grissini that have been rolled in polenta.
Fantastic. And just to actually learn how to say focaccia.
You just learned.
Focaccia. Because I used to say, can I have some focaccia, please? And I thought I was really saying it correctly.
Well, I would have told you how to say it, but I had a mouthful of bread.
I know.
Which is why you started talking to me, isn't it?
Second loaf. So far.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
Where are you making this, Stephen?
I made that in my own kitchen, but more importantly, I teach people how to make bread.
Mm-hmm.
And in the introduction to bread making class, these are examples of what people will learn, you know, on the first class today.
And you've had a huge career change, haven't you?
Yeah, it was an evolution, I would say. I started off, for 30 years I was involved in financial markets as a trader, latterly as a broker. And
but so you've always been involved with dough, though. Oh, that was terrible, wasn't it?
And I got involved in my passion, which is food, in the early 2000s. I had a cookery school in France. I came back to England in 2005, learnt to make bread.
Cool.
I was quite fascinated about making bread. I thought it was actually more complicated than it really is. I went to quite a few bakers and people who were teaching bread making, and there was one person in particular whose method appealed to me. Rather than just kneading the dough, I don't want to be too technical here, but we teach the same thing. It's actually working the dough in such a way as to make it light.
Mm.
And you can see here with the focaccia, there are holes in it, which indicates it's got quite a lot of air there.
Mm.
And at the end of last year, at the end of 2011, I decided to, along with my partner Roberta, teach a bread making class, which is what we do in Beckenham, Kent.
Right, I was going to say, where are you based? You're based in Beckenham, and you've got kitchens there. Yeah.
We've got one large kitchen.
I'm just laughing because you smacked your lips then live on air.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, I'm still picking bits of bread out of my teeth. Wouldn't I have you know?
Try a bit of the rosemary, Paul.
No, I can't talk and eat at the same time, can I?
Well, hold it in your hand.
No, stop it.
Hold it in your hand.
No, stop it. I've lost my thread now.
Beckenham.
Yeah. We were talking Beckenham. So your cookery school's in Beckenham.
Yeah.
Do you make bread commercially as well, or is it purely... No,
purely teaching people how to make bread themselves.
Cool.
Two classes, the introduction class, and a more advanced class for those who have been to the introduction class, where we make more speciality type breads.
Right.
And we're also teaching a pasta making class from September.
So I'm seeing a little bit of influence here from Roberta.
Oh, definitely. It'll be
the
Roberta.
Italian is coming in.
Yeah, it'll be Roberta who will be holding that class.
Wow.
Bread making and pasta making classes are for a maximum of 6 people.
Right.
We have 2 domestic ovens in our kitchen, and that works pretty well.
Cool. So, just step me through the process of making bread. You just pick one of the types of bread that you make, and just step me through what's involved in it.
Well,
just so I know if I want to come on the course. And stop
well,
poking that thing with...
It's all about making the dough.
Right.
So the technique I alluded to earlier is about making a very light dough.
Mm-hmm.
The ingredients are very basic. We're talking about flour, water, salt, and yeast.
Mm-hmm.
We work that in a certain way, let it rest, and then we shape it into loaves.
Mm.
In the case of focaccia, it's the same ingredients I mentioned, but we add polenta and olive oil to that dough. We let it rest, put it on a tray, put our fingers you know, in the dough and make little holes there.
Right.
Let it rest a little bit further. Put our topping on top. Give it another indentation. Let it rest for another 20 minutes and in the oven.
Right.
20 minutes later, it's ready.
Cool.
And just it's like as that. Easy as that. It's and it is. It really is quite simple.
I tried to make bread once.
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll try again.
I did try to make bread
what
once.
What happened?
I built a shed out of it. It made great bricks. It was heavy, stodgy, horrible. It was burnt on the outside and the dough was still running on the inside.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
Oh, about 30 years ago.
There you go. Yeah. You know what, in those days, everybody, when they were making bread, during the process of making bread, you see them throw loads of flour on the surface and throw flour onto the actual dough, whereas I really do encourage people not to even touch any more flour. There's a recipe,
right,
and it contains a certain amount of flour, and after that, we don't add any more flour at all.
And, I mean, talking about the flour that you use, I mean, presumably the quality, the type, I don't know, I'm kind of guessing as I go along here, but the quality and type of flour you use will have a fairly dramatic effect on the type of bread you produce.
No, there's a dramatic effect in the sense that you have to use the right kind of flour. Yeah. The quality of strong white flour that you could buy from most supermarkets is around about the same. It might vary in price a little bit, but that's it.
But is that good? You're not saying to people, look, you've got to buy specialist flour or anything like that?
Not at all.
Okay.
You can if you want, and people do, but a strong white flour is all you need.
Right, okay. Okay.
It's almost therapeutic though, isn't it, bread making?
Oh, very therapeutic.
Is that why you got into it from business?
No. I didn't get into it from a therapeutic point of view. I got into it because it was a bit of a challenge, I thought at first. And when I realised how simple it is to make wonderful bread, that was the appealing part of it. And when it came to teaching somebody something, you know, I didn't want to teach people how to make Italian food or French food or Thai food or whatever. There are a number of recipe books and programs on TV that show that and demonstrate that, whereas with bread making, it's about the technique initially, and thereafter it's just about applying that technique and being a bit creative with it.
And what who's coming on your courses?
Type of people? There isn't really a type as such. I mean, I have about a 50-50% ratio between men and women. Age between 20 and 65.
So you are, Paul, you can go on.
Roughly.
only just scraping. Being 19.
Quite a lot of interest from men. I say 50-50 men and women, but it's the men who actually come to my class who are very enthusiastic. I'm not saying the ladies are not, but the men show a lot of enthusiasm. Probably about 40% of the people who come on my class are there because it's been bought as a gift from their other halves.
That's a nice idea.
Mm.
You stopped speaking just after goodbye.
When you grew up as a child, were you involved, because you said your mum was from Malta, so were you involved with cooking with your mum and your family? Was that a whole...
I wasn't necessarily involved, apart from being on the eating end. My mother was a particularly good cook, and I learnt how to cook at an early age, probably in my late teens. And I developed it from there. I've travelled quite a lot, and wherever I do go, I tend to eat the indigenous food of wherever I go and try to replicate that. Mm. So yes, I've got an interest. I've always had an interest in eating food, certainly.
And are you doing traditional English bread as well, British bread, or are you sticking to the these more exotic types, Italian and the French?
Certainly Italian and French. I teach baguettes, and what I've brought here is of an Italian theme. But I also teach an artisan loaf of bread, which you could call it English, I suppose. Why not? With poppy seeds and hand rolls. I've got poppy seeds and sesame seeds on top.
Are you enjoying that, Paul?
I actually adore nice bread.
Yeah.
I really do like nice bread. You know, I mean, for me, some good cheese, some bread,
preferably
some balsamic and some oil, and I'm totally happy.
Well,
I would eat that for every meal.
Well, yeah, you've got to come on one of my classes, because we finish the class with the bread coming out of the oven after about a 3-hour period, and we sit down and enjoy that bread with a lunch comprising of pate cheeses and a couple of glasses of wine, just to round it off.
Yeah. I mean, that with a hunk of Ashmore cheese.
Fantastic.
For me, a glass of, Biddenden wine or something.
Mm.
You could have a ginger beer.
ginger beer.
Yeah. Non-alcoholic.
Yeah, plus water.
But
yeah,
that is fantastic, that bread, isn't it?
Mm. It's absolutely gorgeous.
So and you've now had the rosemary one, and Paul's had the...
I've had them all.
Yeah, you've tried it.
Because I was sneaking them in while when Stephen first arrived and put the bread down. That was fatal. You all turned your back, and I'd already had two pieces by the time you turned back again. And
the grissini with polenta, that's that one.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Fantastic. Mm. Really good bread.
So, Stephen, tell us... when your next bread making course is, and then tell us when Roberta's pasta making class
sure.
is.
The first bread making class is on the 1st of September, mm. and that's on a Saturday, and every Saturday thereafter. Roberta's class is on the 5th of September. That's already been fully booked.
Cool.
So the following class will be the following Wednesday. The pasta making classes are on Wednesdays between 6 and 9 PM.
Right.
People come along and they'll learn to make some tremendous pasta recipes and sit down again and enjoy them with a glass of wine afterwards. If I may plug it, they're £65 each. My bread making classes are £95 each. They're on a Saturday morning. They last for 4 hours.
Right, okay, I was going to ask that. Yeah.
And
does that include the eating, the 4 hours?
Yeah, includes the lunch and everything, yeah, and whatever bread they want to take home.
You might need a bit longer, Paul.
What, of 4 hours?
I think you might need a 6 hour.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Well, you're saying I'm slow on the uptake?
No, I think you might just carry on eating.
Oh, well, 6 hours wouldn't do it
exactly.
justice at all. No, that would just be
you
getting
might
warmed
need
up.
You might need a chaise longue.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And a big plate.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
And some... Yeah, no, don't worry about it. Yeah.
Go on, what?
No. That's really cool. Sorry, she's interrupting my theme again. Sorry, Stephen. So, just one more time. The next course is running on...
Saturday the 1st.
Saturday the 1st of September.
And every Saturday thereafter.
And that's in Beckenham. And give us a mention for your website.
Yep. The website address is www.harringtonskitchen.com.
Fantastic.
And for the first 10 of your listeners who should email me,
right.
I'm offering a 50% discount on
Fantastic.
My bread making classes and a 50% discount on 5 of our pasta making classes.
Fantastic. So, listener, if any of you would like to do any of Stephen and Roberta's bread making or pasta making classes, if you email Stephen, and the contact details will be on his website, presumably.
Yep.
If not, I'll have them. And just mention Business Bunker, then you get a discount. So, fantastic. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah.
We could talk to you forever about this. Thank you so much for bringing the bread. It's absolutely wonderful and delicious. I wish you much success, and I know you will have success anyway, and you have been successful with your bread-making classes, and also Roberta's new pasta-making classes. I think that's brilliant. Do please stay with us for the rest of the show
yes,
and join in. But for the moment, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Absolutely
thank you
brilliant. Cool. Good stuff. I'm stuffed now as well.
No, you're not.
No, I could eat more.
Yeah, of course.
I could eat more. No, but I've worked really hard to lose weight, and now you're making me eat more.
I'm not making you. You're just tapping in, Mr. Bunker. You know what you need to do?
What?
You just need to swim and walk and do all that, and then you can eat this bread as much as you want.
I got my swimming pool open at last.
Good.
And my pool house finished.
Yeah.
Blimey, yeah.
Your complex.
And then it rained, yeah. Never mind. I did go in it once, though. I did get in it, but never mind.
Your little rubber ring.
Yeah, of course.
Your little duck one.
My duck one,
yeah.
Of course. You've been spying on me again, haven't you?
I've just been thinking, though.
Mm.
Our boys that we left in bed and we were moaning about, 16, Shay and young Stu, had they known that Jonathan Watts was going to bring in half of Lenny's Terrazzo
cake
restaurant
collection.
Cakes and Stephen Harrington was going to bring in...
They would have been down in like
his
a shot.
Range of... Yeah, they would
yeah,
have
but
been...
Yeah, but we wouldn't have got a look in with any of this.
No.
They'd have eaten all that in between eating a McDonald's and a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That's the trouble.
So it's just as well they're not here, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm, cool.
What have you got on Twitter? What's happening?
There's loads of things, and the trouble is we're fast running out of time now. We're right behind schedule, and time's disappearing rapidly. I've got loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of tweets. I've got thesitebox.com. We'd appreciate a shout-out, please, Paul. So that's thesitebox.com. That's... thesitebox.com, thesitebox.com. I believe they're an online retailer of tools and DIY equipment and stuff
so
like that.
S-I-T-E,
I think.
You say?
S-I-T, yeah, thesitebox.com. Annie Page gave us a tweet of PH Accounting in
Hello,
Whitstable.
Andy.
Yeah, hi Andy, hope you're doing well. I'm sure you are. Oh, and Alan.
Alan.
The man from Uncle.
Yeah.
Shackleton's Keeper. Shackleton, the Penguins keeper.
Yep.
Alan Noak has got early bird bookings available now for the iShop Kent 2012 awards.
Alan runs the e-commerce, Kent e-commerce awards in November time every year. I went along to it last year. It was a fantastic event. They've had some tremendous e-commerce sites that have won awards over the last couple of years. And it's a great experience, and it's a great day. It's a really cool thing. And I hope I'm not getting this wrong, Alan. I'm assuming you're holding it at the same place. They held it at the Pines Calyx Eco Centre in Deal last year.
It's a really nice thing. Yeah. Oh, did you hear the Romney?
There is a Romney train going past, listener. Did you hear that peep?
Just shows
it parked. It parked as it went past the window. And that's the Romney Hythe and Dymchurch Light Railway. Yeah, cool. Anyway, back to Alan, and there's early bird bookings available now for the iShop Kent 2012, and they've got six great new speakers lined up to speak there, which is brilliant. Last year they had some awesome speakers. They had some guys from Google and stuff like that, which is absolutely blown away stuff. Fantastic. So wish you much success with that, Alan.
Well,
and,
Alan.
And I will be there. Because that's a great event to go to. I can't read that one out. Sorry, that was a private one. That was a thank you for lunch. I nearly read that out. Yeah.
You mean you actually bought someone lunch?
Yeah, kind of.
Gosh.
Yeah. Auratech, Daniel Eels.
Hello, Dan.
Vanilla Web, Jill Serkin. Hi guys, we're sponsoring another Startup Zone for the North Kent Business to Business Show and a competition to win a free stand with us again. So we will post the details of Auratech's website, but it's Auratech, A-U-R-A-T-E-K. So Auratech's website will have the details of the Startup Zone that they are running at the North Kent Business to Business Show, and they will be offering some free stands to some startup businesses. So great stuff. I've got another tweet. The details are on the website, thank you, which is Auratech, A-U-R-A-T-E-K .co.uk /B2B. So have a look at that. We'll come back to that. We've just got loads more tweets. But I've got a few more emails to read.
About 185.
I know, so have I, but I want to talk to our next studio guest fairly soon. So what I think we'll do, we'll play a bit more tunage, just so that we can all have a swap round and get settled and everything. Yeah. And do you know what I'm going to play, Jules?
Do enlighten me.
I'm going to play something that I played a couple of weeks ago when you weren't here.
Oh, is that the one?
And you heard it on the playback and you really liked it. And I thought it was a really cool version. So I'm going to play Lola by the Kinks, but it's a live version.
It's amazing.
And it's really cool.
I love it.
Club done and also home where we drink champagne. The tissues factor all that. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola. L-O-L-A. Lola. Oh,
With the Business Bunker.
Oh, welcome back there. That's the Kinks with a live version of Lola. That's brilliant. That's a cracking track. Sorry, we got all carried away. We were talking about food while that was playing as well, yeah. And I have to tell you, listener, I have to tell you, I've heard the statement to end all statements. Jules looked at a big lump of cake that Jonathan had brought in, and she looked at it. It's absolutely gorgeous, and she said, do you know, I couldn't eat all of that.
No, I didn't say that.
Hold on, I can hear the choir in missing you singing hallelujah.
I said...
I need a knife and fork, she said.
It's a huge slice that Nicola has very kindly... How many are there? Eight.
Anyway, she's dispatched Roberta to go and acquire some eating implements so that she can tuck into her piece of cake.
I don't want you talking about me behind my back.
And while she's doing that... It's my absolute pleasure to introduce our next studio guest, Mr. Jonathan Watts, who's the Managing Director of Lenley's Department Store in Canterbury. Jonathan, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you, Paul.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Why don't you start off telling us a little bit about the history of Lenley's and the background to the store?
Right, well, Lenley's goes back to 1936.
Blimey.
Yeah, it's quite a long time ago. My father and a school friend started it. They were Maidstone boys, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
They had done their sort of a little bit of retail training in Maidstone and then decided that Canterbury was far enough away from Maidstone that they could go into competition.
Right.
My father was Leonard and his friend was Stanley, and that's where you get the Lenley from.
Ah, right, okay.
So it's corny, but it's it stood us in good stead for... 80-odd years, I suppose.
Yeah, cool. It could have been the other way around. What would that have been?
Stannard.
Stannard, of course it would, yeah.
Well, we did have a business called Stannard for a couple of years. it wasn't furniture, it was second-hand furniture, and I'm pleased to say we don't do that anymore.
So, 1936.
Yes, that's right.
You know, far be it from me to cast a pull, but, you know, business is tough for all of us at the moment.
Sure.
And no more so than in retail, because there are a number of issues that retailers face.
Yeah.
You know, competition from the internet and also out-of-town shopping centres and things like that.
Yep.
But Lenley's is a unique institution in that it's a city centre department store with its own car parking space.
Well, yeah, you're quite right. We do have our own car parking space. We actually, the thing we're a bit different is that going back to the early 80s, we had five separate shops in Canterbury.
Right, okay.
All right in the centre by the Cathedral Gate. And in 83, we decided to move out into a purpose-built, it was a warehouse, I suppose. Mm. And in those days, if you weren't in the centre of town and you had a warehouse, it was very much stack it high and sell it cheap.
Mm.
So our customers found it a bit hard to understand, and we worked quite hard in our marketing and mailing customers to get over the message that actually this was new, different.
Mm.
We needed space to show our goods. To drive a car and park outside and make it nice and easy was the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're sort of edge of town. Just Roper Road is on the Westgate side of Canterbury, and
it's quite a station there, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of parallel to Station Road West, and it's also enabled us to do other things like have the restaurant. I think people probably think we're a food shop, but actually it's furniture, carpets, beds, all those sorts of things.
Mm.
But it has enabled us to have a restaurant there. We've got a kitchen franchise there, Umber Master, fitted bedrooms, Hillside Interiors.
Mm.
So there's quite a lot going on in the store. It's more than just a furniture store.
Hillside Interiors is Tricia, and she does the space-saving wardrobes. If you've got a really, this is what I know about it, but if you've got an odd shape, she will come and custom design it for you. And you know how you've got those sort of things under stairs and that.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. It appears we've got another phone call. Sorry to interrupt you, Jonathan. We'll be straight back to you in a moment. Let me just see who we got there.
Hi, who have we got there? Hello, it's you're on the Business Bunker.
Carla. Yes, hello, Carla.
Hello.
We can hear you.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Yeah, we can. Hi.
Hi, yes. Well, I run ladies' pamper events in Bexley, Fremantle Hall, and they're free admission.
Right.
Our next one is this Saturday, 10:30.
Sorry, I missed the... what is it you run, Carla?
Ladies' pamper events.
Ladies and... ladies' pamper events.
Oh, right, so, okay.
Yeah, it's women... and girls only, and we have about 30 treatments.
I'll be there.
At reduced prices.
Right.
And lots of, yeah.
Sorry, when was the next one?
The next one is this Saturday, the 25th of August.
Okay.
Fremantle Hall, Bexley, 10:30.
Okay, and if someone wants to come along on that, do they just turn up on the day, or is there a website they can book it, or how does it work?
Yeah, they can just turn up on the day. It's free admission.
Right.
Ladies only, girls from 6 years plus.
Right,
we've
okay.
We've got lots of things for girls.
Oh, lovely.
For the little ones.
Cool.
Yeah, we've got face painting, body painting, balloon modelling, nails, decorate your own cakes and make your own jewellery for girls.
Right.
And as I said, there's about 30 beauty and holistic treatments for women.
Right.
At, really good reduced prices.
Cool.
Okay.
What's your website, Carla?
Sorry, what's it?
Could you call out your website for us?
Yes, it's Indigo Strawberry, www.indigostrawberry.com.
Brilliant. Carla, thank you so much for that. Thank you for letting us know about it.
Thank you.
And I hope it's a rip-roaring success, I'm sure it will be, and people can look up indigostrawberry.com if they want to find out more about it.
Indigo Strawberry.
Like the colour.
All right, thanks very much.
Thanks, Carla. Thank you for calling. Bye.
Bye. Oh, look what we've got now.
Yeah.
Lovely Roberta.
Cool. So we interrupted Jonathan to take that call. I'm so sorry about that, but as I explained, once the phones ring, we're kind of at the beck and call. I don't think we've had so many phone calls for ages, have we?
No.
So you were telling us about your move to the new premises in Roper Road, Jonathan.
I think, as I was saying, it was a bit of a shock for people because warehouses were associated with cheap product, and our product is aspirational. It's quality. It's obviously value. But we try for a product that people can come and have a look at and see something different.
Yeah.
So lots of choice.
And warehouse is a bit of a misnomer, really, isn't it? Because it doesn't look anything like a warehouse now.
It's long since changed, yes. Yeah, it's now a two-storey store, 44,000 square feet, lots of parking spaces.
Absolutely, but it's actually a very spacious place. And it's actually... Because you've got that kind of sweeping staircase as you walk in.
Well, we remodelled it 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. So, albeit that it started out life as a warehouse, you would never kind of really know that now, would you?
No, we were, I have to be careful what I say here, but we had a fire 6 months after we moved there. So it was a very fortunate fire in hindsight because it enabled us to sort of raise the whole thing to the ground and start fresh. And that's been a huge benefit, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Sorry, that was me.
That was you, wasn't it? There was a big boom suddenly when I went, what on earth is that?
But it was reaching for the cake.
Yeah, it was Jules trying to scrabble for the last piece of cake and hit the microphone. So tell us about the range of products and things that you sell in the store.
Well, I think one of the benefits of coming from those five separate shops was that we had expertise in a whole range of things. Because one shop was beds, one shop was carpets, one was furniture and so on. So... when we moved and put it all under one roof, the staff actually had good level of expertise in all those things. And we've kept that because that's just how it's evolved. And so often you see furniture shops who think, well, it might be a good idea to have a carpet department, and then the furniture people try and sell carpets and vice versa, and it doesn't really work. So I'm proud of the fact we've managed to keep expertise in the store. So, you know, we've got curtain and soft furnishing department. And Jeremy, I mean, he can do anything, estimates for everything from, you know, formal swags and tails, which isn't really fashionable at the moment, to window shutters, to awnings, all sorts of things. I don't think that's him arriving, by the way.
On his Harley Davidson.
Yeah, I don't know what
that
is.
Very
odd. I don't know, it's something outside, I'm sorry, sorry about that.
No.
But also, Dennis Brophy, for beds, Paul, they have, as you know, Vyspring have just won this amazing award for the best mattress, voted by Which magazine. And I was chatting to Dennis Brophy, and he explained to me he's had 20 years' experience in beds.
Yes.
Sounds good. It sounds like my son.
Yeah. Eight of which are at Lenley's. But if you go into Dennis, I mean, they've got this huge range. It's the largest range in Kent, I believe.
Oh, those from Breads, yeah.
Yeah, and you go.
I have bounced on every one of them.
You have?
Because I'm in the market for buying a bed at the moment, and I've been bouncing all over Lenny's beds.
You've got your eye on that lovely brown leather one.
Don't tell everybody about my beddage.
The
Regal. Thank you.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you go to Dennis, go in when he's there, because you're usually
Dennis
there.
Dennis will sort you out.
He's amazing. He knows everything about them. And cool. You're watching with a customer and they're trying it out. And he's just like,
so if I go and say, can I speak to Dennis? Jules says he's good in bed. That's right. Okay.
I got that.
They'll run a mile.
But I mean, your staff stay with you, don't they? Which I think
well,
is
they
also
do.
Wonderful.
Yes. Mm. Yes. I mean, there's, I think Rich Dose is, he arrived a couple of months after me, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Right.
More than 30 years ago, yeah.
And how many people do you employ?
We've got about 50.
Cool. Okay. That's
so,
good.
Yeah, with our sort of full distribution, white glove delivery service, own carpet fitters, all the sort of staff in the restaurant, it all sort of mounts up, and there's about 50.
Mm. But you also do the fabulous contemporary furniture. I'm just saying this to make you say Lean Rosé, because
yeah,
I can't say it.
Lean Rosé.
Beautiful contemporary furniture.
Explain.
Well, Lean Rosé is French. It's designer-led, and the thing about Lean Rosé is that they commission a designer to design a piece of furniture, and if they like it, then they'll have it made.
Right.
And this is different from most furniture factories where they look at the machinery and say, well, our machinery can produce this sort of thing. What can we design that the machinery will produce?
Right.
So you get some beautiful designs, very innovative, good range of colours, and they're just really lovely furniture.
Mm. You've got one in the window. I've got a picture of it. I'll put it out on Twitter, but it's it reminds me of an oyster shell. There's a white one in your window at the moment.
Yes, that's right.
And it just looks like a fan of a shell.
Envelops around your back, doesn't it? Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely stunning. White leather.
Like a Botticelli number.
Yeah. Yes. But if you eat all those cakes, Paul, you're not going to fit in it.
Absolutely. So it's just lucky that you saved me from that then, Jules.
Leave them for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So
And then there's Italian furniture upstairs with Natuzzi, which quite a lot of people know about. Again, very designer-led, lovely leather. Mm. So there's quite a different range of styles that we do.
Okay. And for you personally, do you have any particular part of the store that's your favourite bit, as it were? Are you an aficionado of carpets or furniture? Or?
Well, I like upholstery, sofas.
Right.
And I sort of vary between really modern to some very traditional designs. Mm. But I think sofas, because it's got fabric, it's got design, it's got touch, feel, colour. Mm. Yeah.
See, I'm useless at stuff like that. Where I live now, when I moved in, I had to furnish the house. And I went out to do that. I had an idea in my mind about how I wanted the house to be, and I started buying furniture to go in line with that idea, which was quite modern and blokey, you know, 60-inch television on the wall, Xbox on the floor, that kind of thing.
My idea.
And, yeah, exactly. And I started off with all that in mind, plain white walls, all the rest of it, and then I went into a shop in Tenterton. I live in Tenterton. I went into a shop in Tenterton and they had this gorgeous brown, chocolate brown leather sofa. And I bought it. Which was ridiculous. Because it doesn't fit at all.
No, but that's how you should buy furniture. When you see something that you fall in love with, you should buy it.
Just knock a wall down.
Right.
Simple.
Right.
Fit in.
Why knocking the wall down?
Or if you went and spoke to the Lenley's people, they would have sorted it all out for you.
Wouldn't knock your wall down for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Cool. And
I know you kind of were talking about then this, but you were telling me before we were on air that you were also involved in Maidstone.
Yes.
You have a story in Maidstone. Do you want to just quickly mention
that? Yeah, sure.
So I'm looking out of the corner of my eye because the coppers have just arrived, and there's a bunch of coppers all standing outside looking pensive. I don't know what they're up to, but maybe we've said something
no,
to
you
also.
No, you know what it is.
What was that?
The Teresa cakes.
They've heard about the cake. Yeah, they've all.
Nina.
Yeah. Get over to Dymchurch quickly. They got cakes and bread. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, so Clark's it was a family furniture business in Maidstone, very similar to my own, run by the Clark family, and they wanted to retire 5 years ago, and we had spoken previously to them, but they were too involved with it to want to sell it to me at that point. But 5 years ago, Richard Clark wanted to retire, and we were able to come to an agreement, and I bought Clark's.
So do you go spend your time between the two?
Yes, but not that much in Clark's. We've got a super manager, Andy, who knows the product, knows the customer.
What's Andy's surname?
Andy Simmons.
Andy Simmons. So anyone that's over in Maidstone can go and see
him? I know Clark's in Maidstone, because my main business is in Maidstone, and I used to live over that way.
Go and see Andy Simmons.
Absolutely. No, Clark's has got a very strong brand in Maidstone area.
Well, they've got a very strong customer profile, and so when I bought it, I decided to market the two stores differently. We share distribution, we share sort of office administration, but the advertising and the marketing's done separately.
Right. Okay.
I've got a little fantasy question here to ask Jonathan. I've been wanting to ask him for ages. When you were a child, were you allowed at Christmas or birthdays to go and play at Lenny's and stay the night?
Don't be silly. No, of course not.
Toy Story.
No.
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 See, I had this sort of vision that that's what you'd be all curled up in the beds and your dad would say, oh, go on then, just this once.
No, I would go into the shop and I can remember certain things. That would be on the desk. My father had a yellow duck. Don't ask me why, but you know, you remember these things. No, you had to be well behaved. We're talking 1960 here.
Yeah, so you would go in and you'd help your dad, though.
Sit
in the lorry sometimes.
Lots of sitting in the lorry. Lots of furniture deliveries. Dusting furniture in my holidays, that was a good one.
Highlight.
Yeah, that was don't remember earning a lot of money, but there you go, you've got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. No, it's cool.
Yeah, they were strict in the 60s, weren't they?
Seen but not heard, yes.
But it's funny you should mention that though, Jonathan, because I've got an email here, and you might like the sound of this. It's calling all business owners. Do you have kids over the age of 18? Would you like your kids to learn the ropes of the family business? Are you keen to kickstart their careers? If so, you could be part of an exciting new Channel 4 TV program.
I've seen that, actually.
Paul. Have you?
Yeah, I'd run a mile. Would you really want the TV coming in, pouring over you, and then...
Open before it started.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No control over how they edit it or how you come across.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I'm sorry. We're not quite that desperate yet.
Yeah. Cool. So, what's the future hold for Lenny's?
I mean, it's a bright future, one hopes, but it's challenging.
Yeah, of course.
I think retailing has changed. We don't see people coming into the shop and doing a sort of walk around knowing that they'll be back, you know, next weekend, or they'll walk the street and visit various retailers. They go on the web. Sometimes they might buy on the web. So for us, we've got a very... Well, I'm going to say a very good website. Sounds a bit facetious.
It's a nice, clear website.
But it does the job. So people can go on there, they can see the product we've got.
That's very important,
And then hopefully they'll visit us and they are serious about it. And we're working towards a transactional website so that we aren't limited to people just placing orders while they're in the store.
Right. Okay.
So that's a very big thing for us.
Yeah.
I think product is always... big and moving with the times and getting the right merchandise in front of your customers.
Absolutely, yeah.
And our customers, they're fashion orientated. They want to see new things. They want to see different things. So we need to lead that a bit, and going out and finding that merchandise is really important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jonathan goes out to the shows and travels to Italy, don't you?
Yeah, right. Milan is a really big fair, Cologne.
Right.
And we see the factories and... go down to South Italy to the upholstery factories down there in the hottest time of the year.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, I own a number of different businesses, but none of them are a retail business, so it's not an area of my expertise. But I tend to look at it as an outside investor. One of my interesting foibles is I'm a great disruptor. I love doing disruptive things in business, yeah. And I like doing businesses that everybody else says, nah, there's no money in that, it's all over. Hence, I'm involved in radio, newspapers, two of the things that are both down the toilet. But from a disruptive point of view. But one of the things that I've noticed with a lot of people getting upset about the high street and the way that retail has been going, is that things are changing. And I think the thing that's changing is that we're now looking for better, stronger, more quality in the high street and more local.
Yes, I think
what's not working is the high street multiples anymore. Mm. You know, the thing.
Well, unless they're really progressive and strong, but if they've got a slightly old product mix, then they're on the way.
So, you know, one of the things I love about what you're doing at Lendlease and Lendlease store concept is that it is about the quality of the products you sell. People will come and buy them. If you have the right products.
Yes.
And you see that with a number of retail businesses, because you see more, you know, it even kind of relates a bit to what Stephen does, is that you're seeing more and more artisan shops opening where people concentrate on one product. You know, in Canterbury we have the Good Shed, where you have loads of artisan producers of things there. And, you know, people are doing much more quality orientated retailing, which I think is a tremendous benefit.
Yes. People are getting wiser. I mean, they're knowing products better. So. Yeah. We're finding that merchandise from the Far East, from China, people understand it. They know the limitations and they know that there is a product that's of better quality, which they may well prefer. They may not, but at least they know and they have the choice.
Mm. But you still can't beat the tactile thing of going into Lendlease, touching things, you know, looking at them visually rather than on a website.
I'm terrible. I need to be punched because I go into shops, look at things, and then go home and order them on the internet.
Yeah, but that's.
Well, we don't mind that provided you come to our shop and you order on our internet. Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, you can look at a sofa, but until you sit on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But things have changed because. What, 3 years ago, internet site, people thought that was all about price. You went on the internet if you wanted to get the cheapest.
Yeah.
And I don't think people are that naive, a lot of people are not that naive anymore. And to be fair, shops have also responded to that competition. Yeah. And I think our prices are lower.
Yeah.
So, you know, the clicks and mortar sort of store is a good business model.
And yeah, absolutely. You have a kind of price match promised as
yes,
well.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Just explain that.
Well, what we say is that we would like the opportunity to match anybody's prices, whether they're an internet retailer or another bricks and mortar store. But we would like to have the opportunity to match, because often and usually we will, because we don't aim our prices to be higher than anybody. We just aim to give the best value.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes people have to be pointed out that internet store, there's a delivery charge, there's problems if you need to return it, there's a lot of work for customers with delivering them, so there is a value there which we offer.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and expertise. You know,
yes.
Which you alluded to earlier.
Yes.
One of my big frustrations, even though all my businesses are internet-based businesses, but one of my big frustrations with buying things on the net is you can't ask questions. It's okay if you know all about the product you want. So if you're going on knowing I specifically want X, Y, or Z, that's fine. But if it's something you're not familiar with, then you want some advice, forget it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't exist.
Yeah. And also, talking about, you know, smaller businesses and growth in retailing, people can ring me up, and if they have a problem, I will deal with it. I will go and look at it and all those things, and sometimes I just say to them, you know, Richard Branson's not going to come to your lounge and look at your, you know, rail ticket or whatever it is that you're not happy about.
Mm.
And so they need to understand that too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, totally agree. No, I think you've hit it exactly right. It's about quality. It's about providing things that people want at a price that's reasonable for what you're providing. I think you're absolutely right. I think the store's fantastic. I've been there a number of times to jump on your beds.
Well, I'll be looking out for you now.
Yeah, and of course I also...
Sorry, Dennis.
Move along, please.
Yeah, and of course I also go to the Kent Business Suite Up, which is in the restaurant
the
there
at
Lendlease as well. So,
and we normally stay and have a little confit duck, don't we?
We do. We normally have a little lunch there and a try out of...
Yeah.
various chairs.
Yeah, it's
cool. Jonathan, for the moment, we're fast running out of time. We could talk about this forever, but thank you so much for joining us on the Business
Monkey. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure to have you on the show, and you're welcome back anytime. So thank you for the moment. Well, that's Jonathan Watts, Managing Director of Lenleys Department Store in Roper Street, Canterbury.
Lenleys.co.uk.
And their website is Lenleys.co.uk. And you can also follow them on Twitter, surprisingly, at Lenleys.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking after the cake, you really need to, you know, go to Lenleys, have a little nap in the Vice Spring.
I'm sure they'd love that. I'm sure they'd love all of our listeners piling over there and having to lay
I'm
down
sure
in their beds.
Dennis, yeah,
that, that would really make
very pleased to see.
Dennis wouldn't mind. It's lovely.
I had a tweet from Indigo Strawberry. That Carla that rang us earlier saying thank you for the plug. Just to reiterate, our website is indigostrawberry.com. So thank you for that. I think we better clear up some of those mails as well that you've got there.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the smell of the rosemary on this bread here is just amazing. I'm just getting beautiful wafts. You know, rosemary's very good for brain as well. So
really?
I might perk up in a minute.
Blimey.
Okay, the Village Hotel in Maidstone. It's at nine. This is a workshop. Is your site fully optimised so new visitors and potential clients can find you on Google? Even the most extreme novice can learn how. Your main objective is to be high up on the organic results and found on Google for keywords related to your business interest. So getting your small business site, blog, online professional profile or home business e-commerce shop to rank high in Google can be a daunting task. So they're saying that best-selling author Paula Wynne, that's W-Y-N-N-E, has done this many years ago, and she just realised that she had a dire need to get her own online business ranked. She didn't wait for a budget to employ someone to do it for her. Instead, she rolled up her sleeves and got stuck into some serious do-it-yourself learning. She became a sponge, soaking up everything she could, and soon her first business was Google's number one for its keywords. Wow, well done, Paula. So this event is sponsored by Kent Business. It's £85 for each delegate. Its usual price is £125, so that's a little reduction there. And that's www.bestbusinessevents.co.uk, and it's at the Village Hall, Maidstone, 9:30 to 12:30, and that's on Tuesday the 11th of September.
The Village Hall, Maidstone? Do you mean the Village Hotel?
Hotel, did I say hall?
The Village Hall, yeah. Sorry. We don't have a Village Hall in Maidstone, I'm afraid.
It might be with the sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar rush.
Cool, thank you for that.
Kent-based company is No Dope for Olympics. What, dope?
No, I remember seeing the email coming. That was an interesting one.
This is from Laura Clark at ENS. Whilst many companies have seen little commercial advantage during the Olympics, one Kent-based business is bucking the trend. And it's Versapak. Am I saying that right? Versapak? Doping Control Limited. And they're based in Erith. And they are manufacturers of the Tampa Evident Anti-Doping Container. And they've been busy, as many newspapers and news broadcasters have been coming to them for comment. And the managing director, who's Leon Edwards, has said, when Ye Xuan, the young Chinese swimmer who was first accused of doping, hit the headlines, news reports needed an authoritative view of what was going on, and they came to us. And this has resulted in me being interviewed on national news bulletins and led to many journalists wanting to understand more about the athlete dope testing process. So well done there. And this is, they based in Erith, they've been there for 30 years, they've got 20 employees, and they're about to launch a new Tampa Evident blood sample transport kit, which will be used globally for anti-doping testing within the sport.
Blimey.
So well done, Versapak. Perhaps you should give us a call or come in.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be lovely to hear from them. We've had a theme over the last few weeks of new startup businesses, you know, but large scale startup businesses with quite cool products arising in Kent, because we had EcoEgg a couple of weeks ago, if you remember.
Well, I use an EcoEgg. I heard you and Joe discussing it.
Well, I don't know if you know what happened with EcoEgg. The EcoEgg listener, if you don't recall, when we talked about them a few weeks ago, they produced an egg that goes in washing machine for washing.
Yeah.
And it's, as well as being eco-friendly and low carbon and all that stuff, it actually lasts for ages and ages and ages, and it's very low cost. It works, everybody knows about it, it was all great and fine and dandy, but they were having it manufactured in China,
and ship back here.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the problems, are somewhat in the same way that Jonathan alluded to, the problems with having it made in China is it was cheap, but the administration and overhead was a nightmare because, mm-hmm. you know, there were language difficulties, there's import and export difficulties, the Chinese government aren't exactly the most friendly people to deal with, blah, 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 blah. So eventually the overhead of dealing with it outweighed the cost advantages, and they moved production back to Sittingbourne.
Wow.
Which was brilliant, but it turned out that not only was the overhead all disappeared, but it wasn't as expensive either.
Just shows you.
Double whammy, so it just shows you. And more and more people now are opening local businesses, producing stuff, yeah. which once upon a time would have been produced abroad, which is good news for Kent.
And we love to support the Kent-based businesses, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, and I actually had another email here along those lines as well. Yeah, here it is.
There's another laundry ball that I use, which is they're nuts. They're actual nuts.
Oh, hazelnuts.
They are. They look like hazelnuts. And I pop them in a little bag, and I put them in, and you can use them time and time again, and they make the washing really soft. And they are eco-friendly. Yeah.
Steps back in amazement. Only Jules could use hazelnuts to do her washing.
They're not hazelnuts.
Is there any part of Jules' life that doesn't involve food, one asks?
Yeah, you pop one in the laundry, pop one in the case.
Yeah, exactly.
Multitasking.
But going back to what I was just saying, I saw this earlier, which reminded me. There's been new record for company formations in Gravesend, in Kent, yeah. Gravesend has set a new record for the number of company formations in the first 6 months of 2012, according to research by formations expert Dewport. 414 new businesses started in Gravesend between January and June this year.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing, considering the economic conditions we have in the country. That is absolutely amazing. Setting a new record for the first 6 months of any year since records began. The previous record was 366, which was set in early 2010. So that's 414 new businesses in 6 months in Gravesend.
I don't know about you, but I get really fed up with the doom and gloom because Meridian TV was saying, oh, it's never been harder for young kids to get jobs. My son's
nonsense.
Been working.
Utter nonsense. Don't get me started on that. You know, I got I did a programme for the BBC and we started a bit of controversy about that. No, the fact is that far too many people in this country want to talk it down.
Yeah.
And there's lots of things happening that don't need talking down. And one of the problems is with media and politicians is they tend to look at the macro level of everything and not at what's actually going on.
Mm.
When you look at a place like Kent, there are now 60,000 SMEs in Kent. Yeah, 85% of the entire private sector workforce work for companies with less than 10 employees. You know, but what do they care about? Pfizer's.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Pfizer employ a lot of people, but not as many as the small businesses clustered around them. But because they're small businesses, they don't get the exposure, nobody talks to them, they don't get represented on the news, nobody asks how's your business doing, and even if they are doing well and they do get PR, then the media organisations go, oh, no big deal. But it is a big deal.
I wonder what the colleges are churning out sometimes as well, because I know Rebecca Nutt, Serenity, you know, regular bunker listener, she's been looking for 2 full-time beauty therapists for about 3 months now.
Yeah.
Can't get the right calibre. She can get them, but...
KCC have just launched yet another initiative for placing apprentices. They got the wrong end of the stick, as always. You know, because they're a public sector organisation and they don't understand, because they don't operate in the market, that there isn't a shortage of jobs. There is not a shortage of jobs and there never has been. It's the quality of how you go about applying for them, where the jobs are and how you do it. But we won't get into one of those rants.
Of course, Hilda Marie's looking for 26 apprentices.
Yeah, exactly. So cool. Anyway, we're very near the end of the show, and I've got a couple of things that I really do want to cover before we go off air.
Get them off your chest.
Yeah. No. They're just things that need to be said before we get off air.
Okay.
And have you got anything that needs to happen?
Well, I do want to remind listeners that the Kent Business Tweet Up is at Lenley's at 10 a.m. On the 30th. Free parking, Roper Road, Canterbury. It's a very easygoing get-together for businesses. Anyone's welcome. Bring your business cards. Have a coffee.
Cool. I better read you this tweet, because you'll like this now.
What is it?
It's from Love E-Cover.
Oh, yeah.
Vanilla web. The washing nuts are called soap nuts, actually.
Yes, they are.
And you can get them from us.
Oh.
Yeah. Elm Court Farmers Market. and at the Tunbridge Farmers Market. So there you go. Yeah. There's soap nuts. Thank you for that.
They are indeed. And you put them in a little bag and they're brilliant.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, so I can't take the mickey out of her anymore. They are in fact real. And not hazelnuts.
You thought it was a figment of my imagination.
I had a tweet from Neville Gaunt as well.
Hello, Neville.
We'll be listening to the show later, but just to let you know that my business partner, Graham Williams, has a new book out called MindFit for Success. It's just released, and there are some freebies of it available online if you go to mindfitforsuccess.com. That's MindFit, the number four, success, and that's all one word, as it were, .com. So have a look at that and check out Graham's new book. We're fast approaching the end of the show. I want to mention a show that's on Kent Business Radio later, because a lot of people don't realise that we do broadcast 24/7, and we have a number of good shows on the station. But coming up later this afternoon is Kevin Can and his show, which is called Extra Milk. Now, that doesn't mean anything unless you're sitting where I'm sitting, because right where I'm sitting on this control desk is a big button, and it says tea, extra milk. So his show is called Extra Milk, and it's an eclectic show of music and interviews, and he's on from 3 o'clock until 4:30 this afternoon, Tuesday, every Tuesday. And on Kevin's show this week is his guest is photographer Justin de Villeneuve.
Oh,
and
wow.
Justin de Villeneuve was a man who helped establish Twiggy in the 1960s,
yeah, of course.
And he was Twiggy's manager from 1966 to 73. And he will be discussing Justin's life, career, and work, and the music that influenced him. And they will be basing that around 8 chosen tracks from then. That is going to be a cracking show.
Wow, with flower power.
Yeah, Kevin Can, who's the presenter of the show, is an author and music journalist. He wrote the definitive biography of David Bowie.
He also phoned David Bowie live on air.
Yeah, he's had him on the show and all kinds of things down here in Dinchurch. Yeah. All right, Dave. All right, mate.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah. What time is it in LA?
Yeah. So do have a listen to Kevin's show, Extra Milk. It's on every Tuesday from 3 to 4:30. He has some cracking guests on there. And the music is absolutely brilliant, and he's a top bloke. And I suggest you listen to that. And then following straight after Kevin's show is Craig Avery. Craig Avery's show, Craig is a local author, screenplay writer, and radio play writer, and DJ. And he has a show every Friday evening in the drive time, which is worth listening to. So look out for the Kent Business Radio website. We're going to be publishing some of these other shows so that these guys get listened to, because there's some cracking stuff on, and the music's wonderful. And there's some fantastic interviews.
I've just got to say that Fruitworks has got a mash-up event, Mash Up Your Imagination and Creativity. It's Wednesday, 29th of August, 2 to 7:30 at Fruitworks Co-working Canterbury. Go on the website there, because I can't read this out, but do have a look at the website for more info.
Yeah, I mean, it's fruitworks.co, it's the main website, and you'll find all the details on there eventually. We're at the end of the show, I'm afraid, folks. Again, thank you for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Stephen Harrington of Harrington's Kitchen and the lovely Roberta of soon-to-be Pasta Fame and their bread-making and pasta workshops. An absolute pleasure to welcome Mr. Jonathan Watts, the Managing Director of Lenley's Department Store. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us on the show and for bringing us bread and cakes, which we're going to consume in vast quantities as soon as we get off the air. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for all the people that phoned, tweeted and emailed. It's been an absolute pleasure to share our Tuesday afternoon with you. We hope you have a fantastic week. We will be back next Tuesday for another Business Bunker show. In the meantime, have a great week, and you can listen to a bit of Paul Simon.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger. Dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my well-lit room. Mr. Beer Melly, Beer Melly. Get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty when you call me.